It's time once again to gather around the fence post that is Community Radio. Time we catch up, find out what's making news in the bush. We have a chat to Richard Mutton from DCFM in Dubbo. Richard, good morning, mate.
Good morning, Adrian. Lots of NAIDOC celebrations going on in Dubbo.
Excellent.
Fact, too many to really outline, but the basis of NAIDOC Week around Dubbo is Our Language Matters. And I'd like to pay my respects this morning to Aboriginal people past and present. This is Wiradjuri country, and I'd like to pay respects to an Aboriginal man by the name of Bill Ferguson, who's no longer with us. He passed away in 1950, but his story is of great interest, and I doubt that many people know much about Bill Ferguson.
Well, mate, I must admit, I'm one of them. I've not heard of Bill before.
Well, I've got to say, Adrian, I knew of him, and I've met his grandson on a couple of occasions. He's a beaut bloke. Here in Dubbo, but I didn't know about his grandfather until I attended a lecture in line with the 50th anniversary of the 1967 referendum. It was an open and public lecture at Charles Sturt University about a month ago, and former Senator Aidan Ridgway gave a very good talk about Bill Ferguson. So I'm going to relate from the notes that I took at that particular lecture, and I hope I don't get things mucked up. But anyway, Bill was born in 1882. He was born in the Riverina of New South Wales. He was a shearer, and he followed his father, who was also a shearer. And he worked in the Riverina shearing sheds from about 1896. And he became a shed organiser for the Australian Workers' Union in 1911, the same year that he married. And from there, he moved about Western New South Wales, and for a short time he settled in Galaganbone, which is northwest of Dubbo, and he reformed the local branch of the Australian Labor Party at that time. He worked as a postman. As a postman, yep,
wow.
Delivering mail from Quambone to Galaganbone. But he then returned to shearing, and from 1928 through to 1933, he took labouring jobs. But he kept on being a member of the union, and he spoke on reform the whole time. And when he wasn't speaking on reform, he had his wife and 12 children.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously he didn't speak about reform all the time. he settled in Dubbo in 1933.
Right.
Now, Ferguson, when he was speaking about through the Australian Labor Party, about what was being done by the Aboriginal Protection Board, took exception, and rightly so, of the fact that the Aboriginal Protection Board said mixed descent Aboriginals would be absorbed into society, others would die out, and girls were taken away for training as domestic servants, and if people worked on properties, their pocket money, in inverted commas, was held in trust. This infuriated Ferguson. And so on the 27th of June 1937, he launched the Aboriginal Progressive Association, the APA, at Dubbo.
Right.
And he opened branches on reserves throughout Western New South Wales. And he became a witness before the Legislative Assembly Select Committee on the Administration of the Aboriginal Protection Board in that same year, with two other Aboriginal leaders, William Cooper and John Patton. And they, between them, in 1938, on Australia Day in 1938, organised what I believe would be the first day of mourning.
Wow.
Which is quite significant.
Absolutely.
And the same year, they wrote, Ferguson and Patton wrote a pamphlet called Aboriginal Claims, Citizens' Rights. And they petitioned the Prime Minister of the time, Joseph Lyons, for a national Aboriginal policy. Nothing happened, of course, and the APA continued to trot on slowly and surely, but they got some very good assistance, and I'm sure people who are aware of famous Aboriginal people would know of Pearl Gibbs, wonderful, Herbert Groves and William Onus. Now, the Aboriginal Welfare Board replaced the old Protection Board in 1940. And it was concerned with assimilating Aboriginals into European ways in nuclear families. Well, again, Onus, Groves and Pearl Gibbs, along with Bill Ferguson, wouldn't have enough of that. They said, no, that's not going to happen, and we don't like it. So they actually spoke about that and complained about that until 1949, until 1944, when Bill Ferguson was elected to the Aboriginal Welfare Board. And there was a great hue and cry about that. In fact, his nomination was knocked back by the board, but he finally got onto the board and he demanded an inquiry into conditions on the Menindi Aboriginal Station, which apparently were absolutely appalling. And he kept on going with that. And he actually petitioned the Prime Minister at the time, finally, in 1949, Ben Chifley, to do something about it. So you know, it took him 5 or 6 years to get that far.
Yeah.
He went to the Minister of the Interior at the time under the Chifley government, Herbert Johnson, who refused to see him.
Flat out refused to see him. Wow.
Unbelievable. And Ferguson just had enough. He went to Canberra, left for Sydney, and he said, I'm standing for Parliament.
Oh.
And he resigned from the Labor Party because he said both political parties took absolutely no notice of me, of course, Chifley being Labor.
Mm-hmm.
And he then decided to stand as an independent for the state seat of Lawson, which incorporated Dubbo in the 1949 elections. He won only 388 votes.
Oh.
And he made a number of speeches after the election claiming that you know people weren't interested in Aboriginal rights. And unfortunately, he collapsed after his final speech and died of a heart attack on the 4th of January 1950 in the Dubbo Base Hospital. But what a fabulous man.
I think trailblazer would be the word. I mean, he's been out of there for 16, 17 years.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Incredible.
And he's now been recognised, and certainly at Charles Sturt University, they've got the whole biography of him, pictures of him and his story in great detail, and some of his speeches are beautifully written, and I can imagine the way he delivered them, he would have delivered them from the heart and with anger in some states, in some stages, just an absolutely magnificent bloke.
Incredible
so
stuff.
So that's my NAIDOC story.
That is amazing. How are things, because Dubbo has got quite a large population of Indigenous Australians, how are things for them nowadays?
I haven't got the new ABS figures. We mentioned last week that Dubbo's up to now a city of 42,000. Of that, pardon me, the last lot of figures are about 7,000 Aboriginal people in the district,
mm-hmm. Wow.
Which is fairly large. Adrian, the other thing I'd like to talk about is a modern Aboriginal group that is in Dubbo at the moment. It's called the Dubbo Local AECG, which stands for Aboriginal Education Consultative Group, and they have spread their wings far and wide throughout Western New South Wales, and they are a consultative group on education of Aboriginal children and maintaining the language, Wiradjuri language.
Mm-hmm.
And they are working through primary schools, infant schools, in fact, in infant schools throughout the region. They are teaching Wiradjuri as a language, and if you go to the Dubbo Senior Campus 11 and 12, in the Clontarf groups there, Wiradjuri is taught.
Wow.
Which is good to see.
Absolutely. And that's something that's going to all kids, is it? All students?
Various schools at the moment. Not every school in Western New South Wales.
Right.
See, most of Western New South Wales is Wiradjuri country. It stretches basically from the Murray River through to the Queensland border around New Angledale that way and west of the mountains. That's mainly Wiradjuri country. There's bits and pieces that are not, but that's basically it. Taking out some areas around Bathurst and Lithgow and places like that, but it's a very big area. And so the language hasn't been lost, and the language has been recorded, and there is a full vocabulary, and young children are learning it, which is appropriate.
That is, yeah, fantastic. That's something I didn't get a chance to learn at school, was, we would have been Gadigal here locally, so it's something I would have loved to have learnt at school. I've picked up sort of bits and pieces since then, but would have loved to have formally learned it. Would have been great.
Well, that language is still alive. Bungalung, an English pronunciation, that Bungalung is still alive and well on the north coast. And a lovely lady in my hometown of Lismore did a lot of work on that, the late Marjorie Oakes, who was an exceptional English teacher at Lismore High School. And she's done a lot of work on that too.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Richard, thanks again for tuning in and giving us a buzz and finding out what's happening in Dubbo at the moment. If people are travelling over to Dubbo, where can they catch you?
Oh, they can find us on 88.9, DCFM 88.9, local radio as it should be.
Richard, we'll catch up again next week.
Thanks, mate.